Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Good morning. Let's begin with a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your living word, which is the source of life. Help us to understand your word better and enable us to apply them in our lives as we go through Isaiah 11 today. Amen. We are getting closer to Christmas time, but we're not there yet. This is the first Sunday in Advent, a time of preparation and waiting for the fulfillment of God's promises. In Advent, we get ready to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. But we are also preparing ourselves to wait for the second coming of Jesus, God bringing all things to renewal in the new heavens and the new earth. So Advent is a bit like a New Year celebration. In fact, it is the start of the church year because it's about looking forward to all the things that God will do in our lives because of all he has already done. In Iranian culture, New Year is called Nowruz. Nowruz is a significant and important celebration. This day marks the beginning of spring and the new year. Spring season symbolizes and reminds us of renewal and freshness. Our passage today from Isaiah 11 starts with this same image of freshness, of new growth, spring shoots, and the promise of renewal. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. This shoot is symbolizing a future ruler. Jesse is David's father and the Messiah, the promised king and savior who is predicted to come, must come from David's line. A renewal of the Davidic line with a new righteous ruler, emerging to fulfill God's promises. A new life will come for God's people as a new ruler usher in a new society. Assyria, like a tree, was predicted to cut down at the heights of its power and never grow again. The Davidic dynasty too, like Assyrians, perished. But the significant difference was the life still exists in its trunks and roots. God protected a remnant of the people of Israel who were seeking after his right, his mission in the world. The remnant was small and weak. In fact, in Jesus' time, they were living under Roman occupation. But it had the life of God and the promise, the potential of God in it. It was like leaving a stump in the ground where its life could shoot out again, become a sapling and bring forth branches and leaves. Salvation would not come from the pomp and glory of the royal house of the past. Rather, it would come from the promise of one who could create a royal house from a peasant family. This is the surprising way God would bring renewal. What does renewal mean to people in this world? Well, people use different ways to refresh or renew themselves or lives. Some find a sense of freshness through traveling. others by going to gym and change their lifestyle or doing meditations, some by shopping a new plant or other things. Even some people go to beauty clinics and use different methods to make their faces look younger. No judgment. But can the things of this world truly bring lasting renewal to our hearts and souls? What does renewal mean to you? How has God brought renewal in your heart, mind, and spirit? The Bible talks about another kind of renewal that lasts forever. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." The promise of Jesus is that the new creation that we are waiting for has already in some way become real in us who are in Christ. We as Christians who trust in Him for salvation receive the new creation now in our lives, our spirits, our hearts, and our minds. Renewal for us is a both end, and now and not yet. When Jesus rose from the dead, He was the first fruit of resurrection and renewal for all those who will follow Him. And with His resurrection power in our lives, we are also made new. The message of renewal from Isaiah 11 points to the promise of renewal in Jesus. Just as the shoot from the stump of Jesse symbolized new life, Jesus brings new life to our brokenness. It's like a Nowruz celebration, reflects the hope for a fresh start, but Jesus offers an eternal spring that never fades. He is creating a new world, both here and in the world to come. But what will characterize this new world? What will it look like now and in the future? It will look like the character of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and fear of God are coming from the Spirit. The Spirit enables Christ as the Lord to reign with power and justice. Jesus, as the Son of God, had the Spirit of the Lord upon Him throughout His ministry. He was full of life and spirit. As a leader and savior, Jesus was not just knowledgeable. He had a profound, wise, and discerning understanding of God's will, allowing Him to make wise decisions. He was perfectly wise in all things. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." This means that Jesus is not just someone with wisdom. He is the wisdom. As a human, Jesus experienced much in his life. And as the Son of God, he had a spirit of understanding, enabling him to comprehend us in every situation and care about all our feelings. His wisdom and understanding equipped him to be a good counselor. That's why the Bible calls him the Great Counselor. Jesus provided and counseled to his followers. His might was not displayed through physical power, but through spiritual strength, love, and the ability to overcome sin and death. Jesus is the path to salvation. The same Spirit that worked in Jesus is present and active in us today, offering wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and fear of God. The Holy Spirit brings a spiritual renewal that will characterize the Messiah's reign and renew us. Isaiah looked forward to a Messiah who could perceive things correctly, who will be able to carry out and make right decisions because of the correct motivation. When we see Jesus, we can see the Father, the God the Father. And there is no difference between the nature of Jesus and the nature of the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, Isaiah tells us that Jesus delights in the fear of God, of Lord. What brings delight to people? What brings delight to you? We should delight in the fear of the Lord as Jesus did. Let me share my experience with the fear of God. I come from a Muslim background. Before becoming a Christian, I was always afraid of my God. I had a very angry image of my God's face. Well, Google told me this is a Zeus cloud from God of War. But anyway, it is very much look like my imagined face of God. I always thought he was watching me like this, waiting for me to do something bad or wrong, and then he would punish me. Sometimes I did good things to make my God happy, not because I loved him or he loved me. But I did them because I had a fear of God. I can call this fear bad fear or false fear. But I believe we as Christians have a different fear of God. I can call it right fear or godly fear. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of God is proper response to the holiness of Him, and like Jesus Himself, we should delight to fear of God, which leads us to a holy life. There is a relationship between the fear of the Lord and trust in Him. God stores up His goodness for those who fear Him. People who fear of God can use their knowledge both to glorify God and enjoy Him. We live in a world filled with injustice, witnessing wars and bloodshed. We see some people facing punishment for crimes or mistakes they did not commit. Even in our personal lives, we sometimes encounter injustice in our relationships or life. However, the Word of God makes it clear that He judges the needy with justice and gives decision for the poor. What sounds like injustice in people's eyes? One of the crucial responsibilities for a king in ancient time was to establish justice. The worthiness of a king was based on his decisions in governance, and his wisdom was also evaluated for his commitment for providing the needs of vulnerable segments of society. Now we can see Isaiah is talking about the Messiah. This ruler is ruling the world with justice and righteousness. He is going to rule in peace, not in war. The righteous governance described in this chapter brings about renewal of judgment. Jesus will break the injustice structure of this broken world. He protected the vulnerable and confront the wicked. In this dark and fallen world, these things give us hope and security. They encourage us to have faith in such a faithful God and enable us to stand against injustice and establish justice equally for everyone. In some countries like my country, Iran, men and women are not considered equal. Women often receive less respect in society, and men are free to have all kinds of behavior toward women. Even from a legal and rights perspective, men have more rights compared to women. But when the Messiah comes, there will be no unfairness, and no one will say that's not fair. There will be no disparity between rich and poor, weak and powerful. This radical peace and equality are pictured in verses 6 to 9. Verses 6 to 9 gives us a new hope again and talking about renewal. Imagine animals living together in peace and harmony, wolf alongside lamb. How does the image of a wolf living with a lamb and a leopard lying down with a goat challenge our understanding of renewal? The things that seem impossible in this world will come true when Jesus comes. The strong and powerful live together with the weak and powerless. Here we see a vision of peace and calm, reaching a point where hostility even between animal and human will vanish. These promises renew our hope, assuring that the Savior, Messiah, will return to the earth to establish a new agreement with Israel, a time when everyone will come to know Him. This tells us about a renewal of relationship, not only among humans, but also in all creations. The Prince of Peace brings peace to the world. The The effect of his rule will be universal peace. An ideal described here in symbolic language that recalls the paradise of Eden. It is a picture of whole creation put back into joint. The entire earth, not just Jerusalem, will be the Lord's holy mountain. In the other words, he will be known and his rule will be experienced everywhere. Through Jesus, we have the hope of a renewal world, free from strife and filled with the glory of God. Verse 9 concludes with an amazing picture of the Messianic era, where the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. What a breathtaking image of the universal awareness and acknowledgement of God that will come when Jesus returns. It's like Isaiah is painting the truth of Philippians 2:11 onto a canvas. Every knee shall bow and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Lord to be glory of God the Father. Harry Goodhue in his book, The One Sure Hope, says, Jesus alone is the Savior for all humanity, the only source of forgiveness and of reconciliation with God. He is the source of life and all goodness. Isaiah chapter 11 is giving us a message of hope and restoration, of renewal and a new world to come. It assures us that despite our challenges and difficulties, God has a plan to include the arrival of righteous ruler who will bring about positive transformation in the world. The coming Messiah brings renewal to all aspects of life and creation under the influence of the Spirit of the Lord. Renewal in salvation. Renewal in spirit. Renewal in justice. Renewal in peace. Renewal in the knowledge of the Lord. As we are preparing to celebrate the birth of our King in the next few weeks, I would like to invite you to reflect more on the message of renewal at the heart of Christmas, the importance of this celebration. Christmas time in Turkey, was nice and special. Shopping centers looked very nice and fancy with huge Christmas tree and lots of decorations. It might surprise you, but it is much better and fancier than here. But when I talked about Christmas with some Turkish friends, they had no idea about the message of Christmas and why they celebrate it. They just enjoyed the decoration, and some people felt renewed when they ordered a gingerbread latte from Starbucks. I did too. But the renewal of Advent and Christmas is infinitely deeper and more powerful than even the best seasonal celebration. It is about the coming of a Savior who will be change the world, renewing everything that has been broken by sin and sadness. The old is gone. The new has come. We know that when a family realizes they are going to have a child, their joy is indescribable. They start planning for the baby, making purchases, and eagerly anticipating the child's arrival. Now imagine Isaiah is talking about the coming of a Savior. The Redeemer isn't just coming to bring joy to a family. He is coming to renew the world and bring new life. This passage can help us to trust in God's plan for transforming and renewal in our lives, relationships, and the world. It encourages us to trust in God's justice, live in righteousness, and must follow Jesus as our example in our life. Showing compassion toward the vulnerable people. Through Jesus and following him, we can promote unity among diverse groups. We can be peacemakers in our community or beyond. We are encouraged to allow the Holy Spirit to bring transformation in our hearts. Isaiah 11 is inviting us to reflect on the incredible promise of Christ's birth. Recognizing and understanding the hope and renewal that Jesus brings into the world. Let us pray. God of all nations, truly you are the only way of salvation, and in you, only in you, we find the everlasting source of joy and peace. Lord, we ask you, as we look forward to celebrating Christmas, renew our hearts and fill them with your love, knowledge, and understanding. Amen.